Well, when's the first time you heard that story? For me, it was in Sunday school when I was about like this. Didn't there used to be a song about fishers of men? Yeah. Do you know it, Dave?
I will make you fishers of men.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Before I get started this morning, I just want to bring your attention to the pastor's quote for the week. Now, the truth of the matter is this really should be Holly's quote. Because she's the one that does this. But this could not be more appropriate. And it said, we've drifted away from being fishers of men to be keepers of the aquarium. Isn't that powerful? Huh? Yeah. So this morning, our gospel reading is familiar to most of us. Jesus tells Simon Peter and his fishing partners where to cast their nets. And even though they have not caught a single fish all night, get this, they do exactly what Jesus tells them to do. How many of us would do that? Well, let me expound on this a little bit. Try to put this in a little bit different context than what we're used to. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, there are so many fish that their nets are about to break. Now, the scripture says that there were two boats full. Don't you think Jesus could have sent the same message with just one boat full? Don't you think Jesus could have sent the same message with just one fish? Because remember, they had worked all night and not had anything. Then Jesus tells them that if they follow him, he will make them fishers of men. However, I think there's a much deeper meaning in this text. When we come to a passage as familiar as this, often we cannot see what it says in its entirety because we have heard that same old party, the same old little song, the same old shallow meaning of what this scripture really is saying. And we sit back and we think, well, I've been there before. We tend to say, seen it, heard it, done it. And so with this passage, we say, I have read it hundreds of times. Not to mention the sermons that I've sat through, and here we go again. There is not much left to learn. Or is there? So let's look at this passage more closely. And as Jesus himself was fond of saying, for those who have ears, let them hear. First, let's look at the scene. Now this isn't a scene where the people are seeking Jesus or his wisdom or salvation. This isn't some speech that Jesus gave in the synagogue. These were rough men. They were hardened. They were fishermen who were probably using gosh and darn when they got back to the shore, some other kind of colorful language because of all their hard work and nothing to show for it. And there was no fish to show for their hard work. Now put yourself in that situation. I know in my own experience in my previous career, when you go out and do all of your tasks and your duties and perform your responsibilities, and you're successful, and at the end of the day, you feel really, really good. Wow. I sold 4 air conditioners today. Or whatever it is that applies to your own stories. And you lock up the office and you go home and you're in a great mood. You play with the kids. You hug your wife a little bit. Or you work your tail off all day long. Lost 4 orders, and you're grumpy. And you come home, you slap the kids, tell your wife to go to her room, and you sit down in your chair and you pout. Isn't that the case with these fishermen? Don't you think that they were really grumpy? Don't you think that what's Jesus talking about? We have fished all night and had nothing, and he tells us to keep doing it? My goodness. So they were probably exhausted and thinking more about their next meal was coming from and how good a warm bed would feel. I know my bed felt pretty good last night because I got an electric blanket. But don't you, can you relate to that a little bit? All they wanted to do was go home and just relax. Leave me alone. I'm okay. I need to get rest because I got to do the same old thing again tomorrow, and I probably won't catch any fish then either. So I'm sure they were not thinking about salvation or eternal life. They had a job to do, and it was not going very well. They were probably thinking about nothing else. Oh, woe is me. I think I'm going to quit fishing for a living. I'm going to go do something easy. Maybe just sit in my chair and wait for the government to support me. But that's not what they did. So how does Jesus handle this situation? Does he tell them to stop fishing? Does he tell them to shut up and listen to what he has to say? Does he tell them that what they're doing isn't important and that they should drop everything and follow him? Yeah. He sees that they are really caught up in the job at hand, and he goes to them and he says, put out into deeper water and let your nets down. And what did they do? Against all odds, against that night's experiences, they did exactly what Jesus said. The scripture doesn't tell us that they even argued about it. Now, would we do that? Oh, better yet, a better question, do we do that without an excuse or an argument or I'm too busy or I don't know how to do that or I'm too old or this or that or whatever? Simon Peter replies, look, we've been out here all night and haven't caught one fish. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets. So there was maybe a little bit of a grumble, but it didn't go very far. Peter says that although we have fished all night, I will listen to you because you seem to speak with authority, and I will let down the nets just because you asked me to. Now, I got to believe Peter didn't have any false hopes that night or morning. But he did it anyway. But this is curious. Why would Simon Peter do that? And why would he encourage others to help him? I honestly believe that there was a presence within Jesus that manifested itself even when he spoke. There was a quiet, confident, powerful, authoritative presence based on the knowledge that Jesus knew what he was doing, that it was God's will, and God would back him every step of the way. And we know this presents to be the Holy Spirit. But disciples didn't know that. They didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit at this point. They were just depending on what Jesus told them. I'm not sure they were even thinking that he was the Son of God. But because of his tone of voice, because of his gentleness, because of his presence with authority and so forth, they did what he asked. So Jesus is going to ask you to do something. You're going to argue? You're going to come up with an excuse? Or are you going to follow Simon Peter's example? Do it without question. Are you going to depend on the Holy Spirit to guide you? Are you going to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God will help you? He will guide you through this task that Jesus is asking you to do. And I speak from experience. I'm going to argue. I'm going to give all of these reasons why I can't do this. You've seen it. And when it's all said and done with, in most of my life, it was a pretty good bet that I just didn't do it anyway. Even though I knew the story. Are we guilty of that? Anyway, as it turns out, Jesus was right. There were so many fish in the nets that they were about to break, and more fishermen were required to haul them in. You see, Jesus not only came to them where they were, he didn't send a messenger. Hey, you guys, I'm over here at the synagogue. I want to talk to you dudes. Drop your nets and your fish and everything else and get to me as fast as you can. That's not how Jesus operates. He went to them on a cold, dark, black night. He even stood on the boat or in the boat and talked to them and talked to the crowd that was on shore. Jesus went to them. He does that. Today, he comes to us. Now, we can ask him and he will come. Or we can ignore it and not call on Jesus. And he will come anyway. Because he knows who we are. He knows how we're weak. He knows that we need to call on him for strength and guidance. And so did the disciples. We have proof of it. They did exactly what Jesus had asked them to do without one word of argument, even though it was probably the record all-time fish catch that they've had in their entire life, and they abandoned it, left it laying on the shore or in the boats, and went with Jesus Christ. You ever stop and think what they were giving up? But most importantly, did you ever stop and think what they were gaining? Yeah. We kind of think of this story through our whole life as, oh, them poor disciples. Are you kidding me? What is the matter with their brain? They left all of this money in the form of fish laying there. Maybe they could have retired if they'd have stuck with their fish. But no. They left the fish. They started a whole brand new career. Not having any experience in teaching. Not having any experience of making fishermen of men. But they had Jesus Christ and God on their side. When God asks us to do something, we don't have to have the expertise. He'll give it to us. And he'll use his son, Jesus Christ, to make sure that we use it. That's powerful. What really matters in this, in the world, is he effectively says, you think fish are all that matters? Okay. I'll give you more fish than you could ever dream of. Let us see where that gets you. Then the men realize that there is more to life than just catching fish. Then Jesus says the most interesting thing to Simon and Peter, and only to Simon Peter he showed personal fear and admitted he was incapable of serving God due to his unworthiness. And Jesus said this, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Now that is a strange thing to say because Jesus was basically saying, hey, I'm God and I want you to catch people for me and I will be helping you to do it. Catching people, or as many as us probably remember it, becoming fishers of men. Luke says that if you follow Jesus, you will catch people alive. Those words later came to mean to restore life and strengthen or to revive. So what Jesus was really saying is that if we follow him, we will be able to restore people to life and strengthen them, which means a whole lot more than being fishers of men. That's what this was all about. Through all of these tests, through all of these failures, through all of this success, Jesus was really telling his disciples, you need to go out and find men or people and revive them. For those that have chose to not follow Jesus, restore their faith. For those that are following Jesus, strengthen them to continue to do the work of Jesus Christ and bring people to the kingdom. And that's exactly what Peter, Simon Peter and his friends realized that morning. After miraculously hauling away from it and followed Jesus, fishing, their main goal in life, their reason for being, their point of existence, now meant absolutely nothing to them. All that mattered was following Jesus and working with him to restore their life and the lives of others. So I just want to finish with what I think is a major part of this story. A part that is rarely mentioned. And that is the mental state of the fishermen that morning. These fishermen were up all night. They were probably wet and cold and tired. They would have been extremely disappointed. Rightfully so discouraged. And just sick and tired of being fed up with it all. In fact, what more could they humanly do? They were experienced fishermen. They knew exactly how to fish. They knew every trick in the book. They knew where the deep holes were. They knew where the lily pads were, where the bass linger. They know that the walleyes lurch on drop-offs in a weed bed. They know all of this. They've fished this lake for decades. But they were cold and tired and defeated with nothing left to do. There was nothing left that they could try. What are we going to do tomorrow night? What we've been doing forever doesn't work anymore. Do you now relate to these fishermen? When are we at our weakest? When we are right down to in the dumps. At the point where we feel the world is about to take us. The point where we can just do nothing more. That is the point where God says, we have done it your way. Stand back and let me have a go. You see, when we are in our valley, we talked about that last week. When we are in the deepest part of that valley, and you can't see the top. I'm sure that's where the fishermen were that morning. And Jesus, when we are at our weakest, Jesus, in our lives, is at his strongest. He's in that valley with you. He's on the dock standing next to them empty nets. He is with you. And he knows that you have a talent and a desire and the ability through him and his Father God to do what they are at, what he was asking of them. Simon Peter, I will raise you up out of your valley. I will place you on the mountaintop. I will get rid of your empty nets. Follow me. And we do not feel God in this particular state because we are down and depressed. I'm sure them disciples that morning weren't feeling God's presence. Just like when we're in our valley, it's hard to feel the presence of Jesus Christ. You see, because we're down and we're depressed, we don't think good when we're in that state. I'm sure the fishermen weren't thinking that great that morning. But because they listened to Jesus, because they heard in his tone and in his words what was there, they threw all of this aside, and without question, they followed Jesus Christ. Never to use a fishnet again. They went on through with the most amazing ministry, only to each one of them dying a cruel death. And still realize their reward because they listened to Jesus and they followed him. You see, I know when he takes over, everything becomes right. And every little detail, and suddenly everything in my little world looks great. I probably should have been dead and buried years ago. But if it was up to me, but God's grace is a wonderful thing. He protects us from ourselves, and if he has protected us before, we can look with assurance that he will protect us again. And all because they listened to Jesus. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.